I mean, I can do it right at home, but I can't do it right from here.
All right. This morning, I'm gonna be over in the Book of John, but I'm gonna be speaking on the light, 1 John chapter 1-9. But before I get into it, I got something I want to read here, and it's the numbers, the biblical mathematics, the key of Scripture, numbers, and number 22. In God's word, it speaks of light, and it's the number 22 that is connected to the light. And that was 22 bowls to hold the oil in the candlestick in the tabernacle. So we know that that was a candlestick. And the candlestick held the light. And not only that, it holds the light that is on our own life also today. And each branch had three bowls. And this makes six branches with 18 bowls. In the candlestick itself, the shaft were four bowls. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 25 and verses 31 through 34. But this is a total of 22 bowls serving the seven lamps. The purpose of the candlestick with its lamps was to give out light. To give out light. And the light is the light that we need to illuminate around people. We need to have the smile. We need to have the countenance that when we go out, that people can say, there's something just different about them. Something's different about them than the individuals that I just left. And they can see the expression on our face. They can see and experience the love that we have, not only for the Lord God Almighty, but we can have the love for them. And we need to share our love with the people. And it says, the saved are called the children of light. We are the children of light. We're not the children of darkness no more. But we are the children of light. Why? Because we've been born again. Why? Because we're saved by the grace of God. That's the reason that we can carry that lamp. And over there in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke, it speaks about the light, that we should not take a bushel basket and put it over the light, the candlestick there, to where the light won't shine out. Because what do? When you put something over that light, there's nothing around but darkness. And you know what darkness represents? Darkness represents sin. And over here, and we see where a light is speaking about the Christian, speaking about the individual that has been saved, been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can, as we're talking about the light and talking about the candlestick, we can think about this. We can think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the oil that is needed for that light, for that light to shine. Because I did not shine for the Lord Jesus Christ until after I became a Christian, after I accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. And from that point on, He has covered me with His oil, and He has covered me with the blood of the that was shed at Calvary, to where my light can so shine. How my only way that my light can shine is because of nothing else but the blood. Nothing else but the blood is the only reason my light can even shine today, because it was the blood of the Lord Jesus that gave me life. And not only that, gave me light, took me out of the darkness, took me out from the bondage of sin, and placed my feet on the solid rock. And that rock is none other than Jesus Christ. Here in Acts chapter 22, verses 4 through 11, Paul was relating his experience on the road to Damascus. He told about the great light that shone from heaven. He said he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In this place the name of Saul occurs 22 times. Saul, name, comes about 22 times. And what does that tell you? That Saul one day will become the light. And he will become that light to where he would not put it up under a bushel basket. That he would go and share that light with the people. That it was around him each and every day. In Numbers chapter 3 and verse 39, it speaks of the total of 22,000 Levites. And the word, the numbers served in the priestly work of the tabernacle. They were to give and minister light to the people. The number thousands means the glory of our Lord. And 22 is the number of light. Thus the number 22,000 Levites were to reveal to the people the light of the glory that they had seen and they had experienced in them days. How can anyone deny the inspiration of Scripture? How can anyone deny the Word of God? But they deny the Word of God every day. They deny it when they see us out in public, and when they see us at a restaurant, and we will bow our heads and we will ask grace over that food. They can see us do that. But yet, they can turn around and they can just go on and start eating. And they will not bless the food. What are they doing? They are denying the Word of God. Because they do not believe in anything that the Word of God says, because God has given them what they need. God's given them what they need. And, you know, this time of year, Thanksgiving, we just had Thanksgiving. What did the Thanksgiving mean? It means a feast. It means a feast. A feast of what? A feast of joy. A feast of being thankful for what we do have. You know, we can always be thankful for something else that we don't, you know, that we don't have. But you know something? There's individuals I hear is in a whole lot worse shape than we're in. Some people these past holidays, on Thanksgiving Day to Thursday, they didn't have no turkey. They didn't have no dressing. They didn't have no food where they could be thankful for. But they do have the breath of air. We can always be thankful for something. But what are we? What are we? We are always in need of something. We always want something. But are we willing to go out and to help someone else? You know, I could have skipped the Thanksgiving dinner this year. I could have skipped it, and it wouldn't have bothered me one bit. Because I could have still said that I'm thankful. That I'm thankful that I do have what health that I do have. Amen. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ has put on my heart, and He's called me to do something for Him. To be thankful. How can anyone deny the Scripture? How can they? When the Scripture's not there to hurt them, it's nothing here in the Bible that God has put there to hurt no one. It's there that they may be able to be thankful, that they may be able to go about doing what the Lord has asked them to do. It's there. All they have to do is just come and accept it. Accept it. Believe it. And say, yes, Jesus, I believe in your word. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Just because I don't understand it does not mean that I do not believe it. Because I didn't know anything about, and I've told y'all once before, I don't know anything about the virgin birth. I don't know. I didn't know why He would die for me. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about God the Father. I didn't know anything at all about Jesus Christ. Only thing I did know was what people were sharing with me. But it's nothing in this Bible right here. The Old Testament or the New Testament tells me that it's there for me to worry about. It's there for me to be able to worry about my own condition. No, it's not there. It's all about the love of God. That's what this book is about. It's about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, love. Their love affair. That's the love story that we have. And I don't know of any other book or any other thing that you could ever be able to pick up and read about a love story. And the love story that He's speaking about is the love that He has towards me. When I pick it up and read it, it's a love story to me. When you pick it up and you read it, it's a love story to you. The word light is found 264 times in the Bible, which divided by 12. The number of administrations. We have the number of lights. In other words, we are to administer the light of the world to the hearts of the people. We need to take the light to the people. Because the people's not going to come in looking for that light. Why? Because darkness has so much more to offer them. They think. They have so much more to offer them. Because see, they have never read the Word of God. We've been missing you, and we're going to be praying for you.
So y'all win.
All right, and you take your hand. Bye-bye. But you know, we need to remember the people. People are here today, they say, well, how many have you heard in the last week or two or the last month? Hear somebody say, well, don't nobody care about me. Don't nobody love me. Hey, you can hear it all the time. All you have to do is just go and walk through Walmart. And you can hear it. Where people are talking about, because they're begrudging everything that they see. They want this and they want that. But yet, I can't have that. They don't need it. Only thing that they need is Jesus Christ. And if they ever get to the point that they know that they need Him, and they go to Him and say, Jesus, I need You. I don't know what I'm doing. I've tried everything in my power to live the life that I need to live toward my family. I need to live the life toward people. I don't know how to do it, God. I just don't know how to do it. I try to be good to my neighbor. I try to be good to people. I don't go around cursing and all of that, drinking and running around with my... I don't do all of that. But He says, you don't know Me. You don't know Me. If you come to know Me, then you'll become to know a better life than the life that you have. The light. It's 264 times in the writing the Word of God. We have the number of lights. In other words, we are to administer the light of the world to the hearts of people in the Gospel of John. The word light is used 22 times in the Gospel of John. The word light is used 22 times. And you know that John is one of the Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Speaking of the four Gospels. But I'll go farther than that and say this. I know what it said right here in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when I pick up this book, when I pick up this Bible, there's 66 books here. I got 66 Gospels right here. Because every bit of it is the Gospel. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, what He's done for you, what He's done for this church, and what He's going to do for this church, what He's going to do for our lives. And 2017 is about upon us. And we can go into 2017 and we can look at, say, well, another year's gone. But now we can press forward because we have another year ahead of us. What are we going to do in 2017? That we didn't do in 2016. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow our light to shine a little brighter? Or are we going to cut the wick off a little bit and have it kind of dim down? No. We need to turn the wick up. We need to turn the wick up. Hey, We still have the freedom of speech. We can still speak. We can still say what's on our hearts. We can still say what's on our mind. Why? Because that's in the Constitution here in the United States of America. We can speak. But how many of you want to really speak out? And we need to speak out, and we need to praise the Lord. We need to praise God for who he is. And I just want to pray. I just want to praise God one more time, anyhow, that he didn't allow, that he did not want Hillary Clinton and being president of the United States. I mean, I know some of the things that maybe Donald Trump, he's, you know, I'll disagree with him on, but what he's trying to do for America, I believe he can help. And I believe he will. We have to give him a chance. We have to pray for him. We need to pray for him more than we've ever prayed for a president before. Because his legacy there, and what he's there to do in that office, is just not needful. It's just not needful. It is more than that. It is the livelihood of the people, the elderly people. It's about their livelihood. It's about the livelihood of the family. And I'm thankful that he's coming in with some of the things that he wants to do. That he's coming in to bring law and order. Law and order had come upon the United States to where there was no law and order. Where there was none. Because you have less and less Christians today than probably what we had probably 20, 30, or 40 years ago. Because you have more people today that would do anything they can to get ahead. It means that if they come out and if they shoot someone to get ahead. And I'm talking about getting ahead. I'm talking about they'll shoot someone over a dollar bill. And, you know, I should have said this during the time of prayer. But you know what we need to, you know the ones we need really need to remember? Is the families that is left behind because of these thugs I hear is went and killed the husband. Kill the wives, the law enforcement that is protecting us, that protects me and you. They don't have no decency at all about them. They don't mind taking a life. But I believe some of them's going to stop. But over here in John, I thought I'd read that this morning about the 22, number 22. But here in John chapter 1, It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. In other words, what he's saying, that he says, I am not that light. I am not Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We're supposed to bear the witness. We're supposed to tell people about the light that comes from above. Where does the light? The light don't come from beneath. Light comes from above. Light comes from above. Have you ever thought about this? In the afternoon, when the day is just about the day is just about gone, and then when darkness comes about, what do you have then? You have the moon. Where does the moon come from? Come from beneath. Because see, the moon and the sun, they cannot work together. You have to have light and you have to have darkness. And when he speaks of light in God's word, he's speaking about his son, Jesus Christ. He's speaking about the salvation that we can only receive from him. Speaking about salvation. And when he speaks about darkness, we're speaking about the devil. And because the devil, he is a liar. And he's the father of all lies. And that's the only thing he knows how to tell us is a lie. There's no truth in the devil. But yet, he wants us to think and believe that he has our well-being at interest. He thinks that we are there for him, to where he can take and he can use us. He can take God's scripture. The devil, Satan, he can take God's scripture and he can read it to our hearts just like it's written. Just like it's written. Because he could say right here, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He could read that to me just like I just read it. But he knows how he can take it, and he can change it around in the next day or two. Or the next few hours, to where I would understand it different than what it really said. He can say, well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In other words, in the beginning was the Word, which is God. And the Word, which was Lucifer. Was with God. Because he was there in heaven with God. And the Word was God. He can take it and he can arrange it to where we'll get so confused. See, I've never seen it that way before. I mean, I've read this reverse of scripture. I mean, And how many times? But that's what it's saying. If you look in it deep enough, that's what it's saying. No, that's what the devil wants you to think is what it's saying. Because he can take us and he will trick us to where our light was shining there at one time that wasn't hidden by the bushel basket. But now, he's got our light. Why? Because he just explained it to me. I said, well, you know something? That's God. No. We have to discern. We have to know which spirit to trust. We have to discern between what is right and what is wrong. And the only way that we can ever find out what is right and what is wrong is getting God's word. And we need to pray before we start reading it. And if we'll pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach us in what it's saying, then that's when the devil won't be around. He won't try to manipulate us to the point that we will take it some other way. No. No. That light has a purpose. What is that purpose? What is that purpose? John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life. That's the purpose of light. Brought about life. If you didn't have nothing but just if you didn't have no light shining, just a cloud right there hovering over everything. And you go out there and you plant that row of butter beans or whatever, or you plant that row of tomatoes or whatever. If you don't have no sunlight come upon it and hit it, it will not grow. If it does grow, it's not going to have no fruit on it. Why? Because where does the fruit come from? And where's the strength of that plant come from? It comes from the light. The L-I-G-H-T, the light, which is speaking about the Son of God. That's the true light. That's the only way that life itself is going to grow. You know, there's a state that I would not want to live in. I don't believe it, but if I had to, if that's what the Lord wanted, and if He put me there, then I'd have to. But that's Alaska. Because there are days when there's nothing but 24 hours of darkness. And there's 20, and then certain time of the year, there's 24 hours of light. You know, and you think, just think about this. If we had light all the time, if we had the light shining on us, and we was looking at that light all the time, we'd get to the point, I believe, that we would not even appreciate the light that we do have. What makes us appreciate the light, the sunlight that we have outside, where it's so pretty and it's shining so brightly outside now? Is the darkness. The darkness that comes about, that's all around us as individuals, that we can allow that light to shine through us. That we can allow to just take that basket off of us when we get saved. And the light will shine so brightly. It'll illuminate around us. You take the lights that we have on in Him. If we could take and cover up all the windows. All the windows in the church here. And we could cut off all the lights. Who would that represent? Darkness. It would be dark in Him. It really would. Think about your life. Think about the life of your family. What kind of light do they have? Has it been covered up? Has the light been covered up by sin? Has the light been covered up because of begrudgingly, whatever happened? But has the light quit shining within our hearts and within our life? I know people that at one time, their light was shining. Their light was shining and it was so bright. And you could see it. In the manner that they walked, and the speech that come from the lips, and then the expression upon the face. But now today, they've lost that light. They have allowed the bushel basket to come in and to, maybe not to cover all the light at first. What is the old rabbit gun? Where you bail to the kids or something like that. And you had the old rabbit gun like that, and you had like a box and everything. Then you had the door come up and down like that, and you have something on the inside. You come down through the top. Then just as soon as that rabbit would get in there, if that rabbit would get that other stick in there, would trip that door, and the door would fall right in.
That's right.
If we don't watch it, the bushel basket is right there. The bushel basket sits right there in front of us each and every day. Each and every minute, each and every hour of every day is sitting right there. And if we don't watch it, we can take that bushel basket and we can take the light that we do have to where it's spreading all around us, 360 degrees. Take the bushel basket and we'll put the bushel basket over that light. And yet we'll put something else, another object there, holding the corner of the basket up to where it can still have a little light to come in. You know what the basket resembles, don't you? It resembles a sin.
That's what the devil can take. The devil can take it and he can trick us. He can deceive us to the point that no return. People like him.
One time they had the bright light. One time their light, it illuminated. But then it allowed sin to come in. It was a little small sin right at first. But when sin starts in, it gets bigger, it gets bigger, and gets bigger. And you know what the world today is thinking about sin. You know something? The world itself is not thinking about. They're not thinking about sin. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about the Word of God and the gospel, which is the Word of God. The gospel is just not the four books. The gospel is the whole book of the Lord. It's the whole book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. That's what the gospel is. But the world out here, they want to come to church. Oh yeah, hey, you could have some. We can have some more people come to church. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I can probably, within the next month or two, I can probably have another 25, maybe 30 people in coming here. But what does the gospel mean to them? What does the Word of God mean to them? What does it mean to them? It should mean that it would change their way of living. It would change their heart, that they would be willing to say yes to Jesus. But yet more and more of them today, they come in and they look at the Word of God and they look at the gospel as what it meant for the gospel. You know what the Bible right here is meant for? You know what it's meant for?
To bring people out of sin. To bring people out of sin, that's what it's for.
But people don't want to be brought out of sin anymore. The gospel is meant to change the sinner. But the sinner comes to church, wants to change the gospel, wants to change the Word of God to suit their sin. That's what's happening today in our churches. That's what's happening today in our churches. Is that if they think that they can come to church and they can manipulate the people, or they can maybe talk to the pastor by saying, you know, I don't understand the King James Version. I know it's what you read about. I just don't understand. Some of the words that you pronounce, I just don't understand. I just don't know what they mean. I just don't understand it. But see, the pastors, they give in to them. They give in to the devil. They give in to what he wants, what the devil wants. That's the reason, I mean, that I'm so glad that someone finally come up and said, this right here come from a pastor of a church, of a large church, I believe it was out in California. And he was the pastor of a Southern Baptist church. This is what he said. He says, the people in the United States of America, we are not electing a pastor to be president, to lead this country. We are electing a man to look after the welfare of the people. And when he said that, I said, man, I said, I wish you need to take that to a whole lot of your churches. They don't understand no more. People just want to say, well, you know, we're supposed to have a Christian, and we're supposed to have a pastor, president of the United States. Nope. Supposed to have somebody that looks after us, our well-being. Looks after the elderly because they've worked their lives. They've worked their whole life. But today, what do they have? What do they have? Obama's took it. He's taken so much away from it. The people.
Yeah.
He's taken away the rights of the people. He's taken away everything. And he's letting all the thugs, all the murderers, he is allowing them to go out here and do the things that he don't care anything about. He don't care anything about your life. That's the reason he doesn't. That's the reason he ain't said anything. That's the reason he ain't said anything about his own state up in Chicago, where I think it was, they had 1 month there was 60 or 70 murdered. Did you hear anything about Obama say anything on it, against it, anything? No. He didn't condemn them. He didn't condemn the people. You know what he done? He called up Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Well, as far as I'm concerned, if they are Reverend, I'm going to turn my ordination papers in. Because I ain't no Reverend. They ain't no Reverend. They don't even know what the word means. I've never seen either one of them speak about the gospel. I've never heard either one of them say anything about it. The reason this country's in the shape it's in is because of sin. They ain't gonna say that. You know why they're not gonna say it? Because they don't know anything about it. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, an individual that claims himself a Christian and says that they are a Christian, and they are supposed to have been a pastor and had the name. I mean, they've got the word Reverend in front of it. Then they need to show the people something. They need to show the people that they come in contact with that they love them. Well, see, they don't love me. They hate me. They hate you. They hate anyone that will stand for anything at all, that will stand for the gospel. And I'm not just picking on them. We have too many of them. We don't have too many here right here in Danville, Virginia. We have too many of them. We have people today
just think because they go to church that they okay. That they will say, well, when the rapture takes place, I'm going to go on home with the others. Where's that home at? Do they know that? Can they say to themselves that I remember the day? I may not remember the exact time, but I can remember when something touched my heart. Something made a change within me. I can remember. I think that there, anybody that's ever been saved, I believe that they can remember. They may not be able to remember the exact day or exact time or even maybe the exact year or where it even happened at, but they know there was a change in their life. I believe an individual knows that. And I believe if an individual truly knows that, and if they ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, then I believe that they're going to kind of go back and kind of reminisce to the time it happened, to the day it happened, to the week it happened, to the year it happened, and to the time. You know that I knew the day that I got saved was on a Monday. And around 7:15 was in 1980. And it was in August, but I could not tell you what Monday it was. But I went back. And I double checked and I checked and I checked and I just remembered. It wasn't the first part of August. The second Monday of August of 1980, as a sinner, dying and going to hell at 7:14 that afternoon. But at 7:15 that afternoon is when they shared the gospel with me. I was never more hell-bound. But then I became heaven-bound. Yes. And my ticket was paid. My ticket was paid for, and it was paid for in full. I didn't even have to pay for it. I didn't even have to pay. And that right there's something to tell you. I mean, you get something that you ain't have to pay for. I mean, hey. I mean, can't nobody else ever say they go ahead and get on the heaven a jet or anything like that, and they ain't gonna have to pay for it. Because do jets, I think if you travel on one of them, I think they got an expense. Mine's been paid for. I ain't got to worry about the pilot. I ain't got to worry about the one. The pilot that when we flying on the head, I ain't got to worry about, well, is he saved? I don't know if he's saved. You know, I know a whole lot of people thought about that thing like that. If people are saved or not. The pilots, all these pilots that fly these planes. Even the individuals that drive these automobiles. We just wonder sometimes about their condition, their soul condition. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for that light, what means so much to us. Father, we thank you, Father, where that light is represented in your word. The word light is mentioned 22 times in the book of John. Through the word of God, it is there for 264 times in the Bible. So, Father, with that many times of where it's mentioned, there's a purpose for it. And I'm so thankful that I know what that purpose was. That I can allow my light to shine, to illuminate in this dark, dreary world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.